We're in the Sefer Brachos, we're on Lamedal in the Bays. By the about 15 lines from the bottom. Meretz Hashem will be finishing the parak today. We're up to the words Tanur Abanam. The Gemara begins with a story, Masa. Tanur Abanam. Masa Shechol B'noi Shel Rabbi Gamliel. So it was very tragic that Rabbi Gamliel's son was sick. So Shigash Nei Talmi Chachom Yitzar V'Chanina Ben Daisa. So even though Rabbi Gamliel, as we know, was a great person in his own right, he was a Nasi at one point, as we saw in the fourth parak. Nonetheless, when it came time for his son to Rufu Shlema, instead of him only davening, obviously he did, but he also appointed two Talmi Chachomim to approach Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, Levakish L'Varachman, that he should be Levakish L'Varachman for his child. The great Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, in which we already saw in the Mishnah last week, that the Mishnah told us that whenever there was someone that was sick, he would know whether or not he would be successful based on whether his tefillos were shigur fiv, flew very smoothly out of his mouth.
Right.
So, Rabbi Chanina Mendoza was the person to go to when someone needed a refuah, someone to daven on their behalf. Givon Shura Oysam, once Rabbi Chanina Mendoza saw them, these two Talmid Chachamim, probably somehow associated with Rabbi Gamliel, he knew 100% that they were being appointed to ask him to daven. So Ola Aliyah, Levakish L'Varachmim, he went up to his attic to a top floor and he asked for Rachman, so as to give the impression, perhaps, that he had nothing to do with the refuah. Beridasai, when he came down, Omohem, he said, L'chu go, shechalsosuchama, because it's I left him with the heat. In other words, he's which is a nice way of saying that now he has some form of a refuah shlema, that he's feeling better. So Amalo, so they said, V'chi Navi Ata. So what, are you a Navi? How on earth do you know, first of all, why we came? Well, I guess maybe that's pretty self-evident. But how do you know that this person, that this child had a refuah shlema? Must be that you, Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, you're a Navi. Right? V'chi Navi Ata. It's usually a question I've never been asked that question. So, but if I would ever be asked the question, this is the way you're supposed to answer it. Everyone, well, Navi Anaychi, well, Ben Navi Anaychi. I'm not a Navi, I'm not the son of a Navi. Elokach Mechublani, this is the Kabbalah, this is what I've been taught. Im Shigur Tfilasi Bafi, if the Tfil works and smoothly comes out of my mouth, Yodu Anishu Mechubal, then I know it was accepted. Im Lavi Do Anishu Metaitit. Otherwise, I know it's problematic. Yoshvu Vikosvu, so they sat down. They didn't run immediately back to Rabbi Gamliel to find out this was true. They sat down, wrote down the Kavan also Allah's Oysa Shah. And they had watches back then, but they knew precisely the moment that this happened. So they want to figure out whether or not when they make their trip back, which may have taken, doesn't say, maybe a few days, whatever, to know exactly when this child had this refuah shlema, that when he in fact was healed. So when they finally got back to him, Ormel, he said, Avoida, I swear to you, Avoida is Lashon Shvua. It was not missing, was not adding. In other words, at that very moment, this heat has left him, which means, like, again, it's like his fever. So he must have had a very high fever, a dangerously high fever. When a person's sick, they usually don't want to eat anything, they don't want to drink anything. He probably wasn't even talking, who knows what comatose state he was in. So the fact was that he asked for something to drink was remarkable. And therefore that was a good sign that he was getting better. And that happened at the precise moment that Rabbi Chanina Mendoza's tefillos were accepted, when he was davening. So obviously, we're not Rabbi Chanina Mendoza. Obviously, you can see the koyach tefillah, the importance of acknowledging the koyach tefillah, and also realizing that sometimes the best way to, if you can daven on behalf of another human being, daven on behalf of someone else who is sick, cause is an important aspect of our tefillos as well, as I often say. Exactly. Right. Exactly. Our whole tefillah is based on not being self-centered. It's about thinking about another person. Think about ourselves too. You can't forget about yourself in the process, but you can't just be thinking about yourself. B'shum Masiv Rav Chanina ben Dosa, another amazing story of Rav Chanina ben Dosa, Shehoch, Mulimot Taritz Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai also was one of the greatest in his generation, student of Hillel. B'chol B'noisha Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, Nebuch. You see that even the greatest people, you know, people say, why me? Why? The reality is, even the greatest of leaders back then, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, their children, Nebuch, also had issues. They had sick, Sargil Banim also. So Amrulo, Chanina Bani, they said, Chanina, my child. This is how Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai spoke to him. Bikash of Rachamim, the Yichya, please do something for my child so that my son should be able to live. Daven for him. So what did Rav Chanina ben Dosa do? Apparently, even though he was there, he didn't realize that he was sick. He went there to learn Torah by Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, as though to say, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai had more to offer. It was clearly that Rav Chanina ben Dosa was going to him to learn, which probably meant, obviously Rav Chanina ben Dosa was a brilliant Talmud Chacham, but not on the same caliber as Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, at least at that point. So what did he do? Haniach Raisha ben Berkov, he took this child of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and put it between his knees, so to speak. He asked for mercy and he lived. It's interesting, the first time, obviously the child wasn't there, so he just had to daven. In this situation, when you can look at the person and realize the illness of this individual, so it perhaps can stir your heart more upon knowing the situation of the individual who's sick. And he lived. So Amr Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Amoli Hitiach ben Zakkai is Roisha ben Birkov Kol Hayom Kulo. Even if it would have been referring to himself, that if ben Zakkai, which he was talking himself, if I would have been the one that would have placed this child, my child, or maybe any child, between my knees, Kol Hayom, which means again his focus was on this child, Davni Kol Yom Kulo, Lo Yimashkichem Alav. Hashem wouldn't even have paid any attention to me. My tefillos would not have been accepted. However, when it came to Rav Chanina ben Dosa, his tefillos are accepted. So Omrlo Ishto, so his wife, you know, is in the background, is getting a little bit worried. You know, every wife wants to believe that their husband is the Gadol Ador, is the Tzaddik. So she hears about Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, that his tefillos aren't, there's problems with his tefillos, that's a problem. There's a lack of connection between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and comparing himself to Rav Chanina. He says, V'chi Chanina gadol mimcha. Is Rav Chanina ben Dosa greater than you? What's going on over here? Rav Chanina ben Dosa, your tefillos are accepted immediately. For your tefillos, it's not accepted. So Amr La said, Lav, no, it's not, that's not the answer. Elhu daima. So the difference between myself and Rav Chanina ben Dosa, I'm like a tsar, I'm like a prince, an officer, a powerful officer in front of God. However, when it comes to Rav Chanina ben Dosa, he's Daniel Evan. He's just a simple slave. He's a slave. So why would you want to listen to a slave more? So Rashi gives us a little bit of an insight. And I believe there's another meaning behind this. Rashi says, "Ke'eved ben bayis nichnas v'yoytzis shul b'rishus." When it comes to an eved, because he's serving him grapes and drinks or whatever, so he's always by the king. He doesn't have to ask permission to go to the king. That's his job. His job is to always be in front of the king and to do his bidding. So he always can have this direct line because he's always there anyway. So because of that, so he's already there, and therefore he can maybe speak to the king in a way that even greater people can't speak to the king. Says Rashi, "Kesarleth ne'amelch shina ragul avolafanov." Someone who's even a noble doesn't stand in front of the king all the time. So the fact that I go in front of the king, he may not necessarily listen to me. That's one. That's the way Rashi learns it. Perhaps the way that we know you're supposed to daven tefil oni kiatayif. You're always supposed to daven on the level of being like an eved. That's how you're supposed to envision yourself. The whole concept of tefillah is the recognition that we are dependent on God. That's what tefillah is about. It's a humbling experience. It's a form of anivus. I'm going to talk about on Shabbos, but it says as we saw in the Gemara and Brachos before, that we learn from Amram Avinu, from this week's Parsha, that we have to have makam kavua. We have to have one place. And the Gemara says that at that person's hesped, you can say, this guy's humble. He's among the students of Avram Avinu. The fact that he stays in one place represents that he is comparable to the among the students of Avram Avinu. The idea of being in one place, a simple explanation of Makom Kavua, is that you're not comfortable. I'm here, I'm there, yeah, I'm in one place, this is where I am, and that's it. In a very humble way, as though to not feel a sense of ownership or a sense of that everything is going your way, and therefore, perhaps this is the meaning. Where Chanina Mendoza's tefillos are accepted is because he's daimel eved lifnei amelach, because he has the proper approach to tefillah, is that he's ke'eved lifnei amelach. He lowers himself to the level of an eved when he davens to Hashem. However, ani daimel kesar lifnei amelach. Well, why wouldn't a king listen to a noble? It's kesar, because he himself thinks he's important. So if you daven saying, I'm entitled to this, God, I have a child that's sick and you better make him healthy. So if a person has that attitude, Chas v'Shalom to say that was Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's attitude, but being such a great person in his own right, it's harder to humble yourself. And therefore you, naturally, he would compare himself to Kesar lifnei hamelach. And as we mentioned, the Indian of tefillah, of davening and bowing down, is to humble yourself. And ultimately, a king, because they have the biggest issues of being haughty, that's why they have separate mitzvos, and that's why they have to bow down the entire Shemoneh Esrei. They bow down the beginning, and they don't get up the entire time. And that's because of the issue of the realization of that they need to humble themselves as they are an Eved, even though they, after they're davening, they are a king of flesh and blood. V'am Rav Chiya Barab, Oymer Rav Yochanan, Al Yispal Adam El Bebayis Sheisham Chalonos. I thought about this this Gemara when I was in Italy, and I'll tell you why in a second. But it says that when it comes to when we daven, we should only daven the place where there are windows. Shneamar, it says V'chiven Pischein Lebay Melisaha Negin Yerushalayim. Quotes the pasuk in Daniel, which we saw at the beginning of this parak, which talked about other things that how we're supposed to daven. More specifically, negin Yerushalayim, you're supposed to daven toward Yerushalayim. It says that there are pischehen, openings, which is referring to windows. And the importance of having windows when a person davens. You can actually see the halacha in Simon Sadi, Sif Dalid. This is brought down Beferish al halacha. Is it a cave not having windows? So if we look over here, open one of the classroom doors. So that's a good question. It's a good question. We look in the very top line. Sif Dalet Sarech Liftayach. Never thought about that. That's an interesting point. Sarech Liftayach Pisachim Oichalonis. Says you're obligated to open up doors or windows. Kenegi Yerushalayim.
It's they
don't face Yerushalayim. I think the Mishnah Berurah is going to talk about that. But there is an Indian of having it because why does he say Kenegi Yerushalayim? That's what the Pasuk says. Negi Yerushalayim. Right? It's quoting the Pasuk. So it sounds like it's supposed to be facing Yerushalayim. So that when we're davening in that direction, you can look through the windows, apparently. Maybe that's a distraction. Mishnah Berurah is going to talk about that too. But I don't know if this is what I'm about to say is correct, but just by the sensitive reading of this halacha, it says you're obligated to open up your windows. Now, the Gemara said, do not daven in a place You should only daven in a place where there are windows. Doesn't sound like that's what the halacha is saying. It's saying that if you have windows, make sure the shades are up, right? Make sure if you can open up the windows, open them up so people can see through them. It doesn't say you need to daven in a place where there are windows. You need to open up the windows. Maybe there's a difference. I mean, that's a shtickle heter for, you know. Kedela spalo kenegdon, in order you can daven opposite them, which is what it says you're supposed to do. But toyev shiyeh beveis hakneses yud beis cholonos. It's not brought down anywhere in the Gemara this, but there's an inyan of having 12 windows, which you can obviously imagine is connected to shvatim. The idea of davening for all of Klai Yisrael. Not just, again, as you said, not just thinking of ourselves, thinking about everyone. Everyone's important. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah, which is the very top on the right, it says, Ochel Oinos. V'afilu bebeis hakneses, even in a shul, kishmispal ima tzibor. When you're davening with a tzibor, even there you should be careful. Nachul nezahir b'zeh. So, it sounds like almost the halacha was initially for when you choose to daven, so you obviously have to daven with a minion. There's no minion, so you should then choose a room where there's windows, implying if there's a minion, maybe it's not as much of an issue. That's why but the Mishnah Berurah is saying no. Even a shul is nachayin lizahir b'zeh. It doesn't say you're obligated to. Not sarich. Sarich in the Shulchan Aruch that you need to do it is when you're davening apparently by yourself. When you're imat tzibor, it's nachayin lizahir b'zeh. It's a good thing to do. Right. The kol shekein kimishas babayis when you're in your own home, b'yichidi alone, the sarich lizahir b'zeh. You should be careful of chatchila. Chis b'gemara, as we see in a gemara, d'lo yifspalel adam el v'bayis sheish l'choloinis. That obviously is our gemara, which is what we learned. V'yavagam d'sarech litin eina v'mata. Shaila is, what are you talking about? Are you staring out the windows, seeing how many buses go by? What are you doing? Counting the airplanes? That's distracting. As it says in Simon Sadihei, says Beis. So why do you want windows? Okay, the windows are a distraction. Better not to have any windows. Nonetheless, the problem is this. Believe it or not, there's a possibility that you may not have kavana throughout the entire davening. Right? Just theoretically speaking, right? Imagine that a person doesn't have kavana for a split second. So at that point, even though you're supposed to be davening with your head down, Yisa'ein of l'shamayim. At least at that moment, you can look up toward the windows and gaze your eyes toward the heavens. L'oyer hakavana, to reawaken you, so you should have better kavana. So the windows are there as an opportunity in the event that you don't have kavana to be able to look through them and say, "What am I doing? How can I not have kavana? I'm davening to Hashem. What am I doing?" And therefore, that's the purpose of the windows. The purpose of the windows is not just to stare out the windows. You're supposed to daven with kavana, looking in your siddur. But if you lose kavana for a second, you look up and you gain kavana. Yud beis cholonos, Mishnah Berurah says, why 12? Ezit doesn't say which, why 12. It is brought down in the Piskei Tshuvos, discusses the inyan of the shvatim, of the tribes. Ezit tzad shiirtze. And here, you can put them wherever you want. But tonight, shiyeh gam betzad shespal l'kav Yerushalayim. You have to have all 12 right in front of you. As long as you have some vision of being able to see your Yerushalayim toward the Mizrach, and then that would be sufficient. So, as we are about to see the next Gemara, I was thinking about this because, and I was actually I told Joel when I came back because he told me this interesting idea. I never knew this when I was in Florence, when I was in Italy after the. The Jews were in a ghetto, unfortunately, for like 300 years. Through the late 1800s, in that time, they built a shul. And one of the ways that they celebrated having freedom is that they built windows. And generally speaking, when a person would daven, a person would daven without windows in a basement so that no one would be able to look in to be able to see that we're, you know, davening, that we're right, doing against their laws, they were breaking their laws by praying, and so it's such a terrible thing. So by having windows is actually a sign of religious freedom. He said, and they said especially a lot some shuls used to have windows only way at the top, or some places of worship.
In the ghetto in Venice?
You couldn't see. Yeah.
So you saw they built the shul upstairs.
Upstairs, right, right.
They didn't want them downstairs with pumps, they didn't want people to know.
Right, that's right, that's right. But the shul in Florence is
right.
Is like the grand synagogue of,
right.
of Florence is enormous. Well, yeah. Well, that's another.
There was a bar downstairs?
Not a bar. It was a regular house apartment, so they built on top because they didn't want them to go to the shul.
I actually had Murphy's shul.
Murphy's shul, the bar. Irish pub, Murphy's Irish pub.
That helps for the illegal Kiddush. You can just go down. Just have a tab. But to me, it was fascinating that perhaps that's... Again, that's not what the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say that. But perhaps that's another inyan of Ayisbal Adam El Babai Sheshon Chalonos. This Gemara telling us that you should daven in a place where there are windows, which means a person should not be concerned about your religion. Obviously, if you're going to be persecuted, then you have to take protective measures to save your life. But in the event that you're not going to be physically harmed, so the fact is that I want to daven, I'm going to daven. I'm not going to have any busha. I'm not going to be embarrassed about it. I'm proud of being a Jew, and I'm proud to daven. And if I'm going to daven, not necessarily out in the open, as the Gemara is now going to say, but I don't have to be concerned about what other people think, the fact that I'm davening. So I'll daven by next to a window. And that's fine, you can see me davening. I'm proud of who I am. I'm proud to be a Jew. I don't have to hide. It used to be when there was actually payphones. It's hard to find a payphone these days. You used to see all these from Yidden, like right before Shkia, on the phone, like shuckling. Like, come on, we know you're davening. So just daven. Put the phone down and daven. You know? Be proud of who you are. Omer Rav Kahana. Let's see the next piece of Gemara. Rav Kahana says, Chotzuf, chutzpah, chotzuf. It's a brazenness. Olayman de matzli bebikta. A person who would daven in an open area, like a field, in that area, wide open, it's a chutzpah. Not allowed to daven like that. So what's the problem with davening in a field? Right. So Rashi says, the very last Rashi in this parak, which is really like a valley, you're supposed to daven in a modest place. It doesn't mean with your elbow.
Oh,
it's a good question. We're going to see. Tosis is going to ask that question. We'll see that Tosis. Very good point. So Rashi says it's an Indian of Sneus. Chol of Amos Melech. I think it's a Beis Belibo Nishbor. You have to have a broken heart, and therefore you have to be in a humble place. You have to not be wide out in the open like that. Obviously, if you have no choice, you have to daven. So you try to find the most secluded place. So that you'll be able to have proper kavanah. So, for Tosis asks the following question, second last Tosis. It says, Chotav olay ma de matzah b'biktav, v'im taimik v'yiksev, yotzi yitzchak v'lasuch v'sada. So, okay, there's an image in a valley, in a field. Okay. But it's still outside. It's still out in the open. So, yesh loymar, there are those that say, the chosav may b'beis b'har ha-mariyah. It doesn't mean that he was really davening out in the field. It means he was davening and Mount Moriah, Har Maria, which would ultimately be the place where he would be brought for the Akedah.
Right.
Or where he was brought
for
the Akedah.
Right.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Thank
right.
you. Can I read the Pesachim, Perek Ish? Loik Yitzchak Shikur Sada. Okay, so Yitzchak, all the different Avos called that place by different names. Yitzchak called it a field.
Yeah, but it's a mountain. It's not going
to
be a field.
There's different drushes. Why is it called a field? Yaakov
right.
called it a house. So it's different in Yonah. What exactly does that mean? Why is it like a field? What does a field do when things grow and is it the vegetation, a house? A person thinks of a house, it's a place where they go all the time. A shul shouldn't be a place where you come once a year. There's different drushes why they called different things. But Yitzchak called it a field. Okay. So that's answer number one. He didn't daven out in the open, because how could he go against the Gemara? There's no Gemara. But, he obviously knew with sensitivity, he did all the mitzvahs, he knew what was the right thing to do. Innate. Inami, another pshat. Bikta, the hacha mayre, the muk, Here it's a different and interesting pshat. It says the issue is not necessarily the place as far as it being out in the open, it's the amount of travelers. So if you're davening in the middle of Times Square, in the middle of the street, so that people zoom in by left and right, so how can you have any kavanah? That's a good question. It's b'shas hachak, you have no other choice. So,
but it's really, there's a lot of stuff going on.
There's a lot of stuff going on, it's true. So, there's an issue of Kavanah, but it's better not to.
Better to daven than not to daven.
Better to daven before you get on the plane, if you could.
If you could, but like you're going
if you can't, right, then,
yourself.
Right. But it's an issue. It is an issue of Kavanah. Anyway, so that's how Tosus answers the second question. So again, it's a huge nafkamin is, it's not necessarily the place. It's the fact that there'll be distractions of people coming. Right. So that's an interesting shot. Obviously, when Yitzchak was davening, he didn't have...
There was no...
Right. Right. Okay, so now let's go back into our sheets. Simon Sadi Sif Hey. Aloyis Balel B'makam Parutz. So a person should not daven in an open area. Kamo B'sadel, like a field. Menei Shekashu B'makam Snias Chalav Emes HaMelech. Belibo nishbar, which is almost Shulchan Aruch basically quotes the words of Rashi, and he says that you need to daven in a makom snius, and by doing that you'll have emos hamelach, you'll fear Hashem properly, and you'll have a libo nishbar, a broken lave. That's the way a person is supposed to daven. So if we look in, see in the Mishnah Berurah over here, it says Yud Aleph, this is b'makom parts yehi lachad tirutza jitoisus. One of Tessa's answers, "Imhu aimid b'tzad haderech b'makom she'en misyare she'afsikuhu oivid rachim shari." If you're on the side of the road in a place where you're not concerned that people are going to interrupt you or disturb you, then sure, it's not a problem. Okay, which is the second tenet of Tosus. The issue is the amount of people. There's a lot of people, which implying that the amount of people could distract you from davening. But if you can go to the side of that road, then it's not a problem, right? Af b'dvreihem v'hini af b'magen avrom b'shari achroinim miyashvim v'divrei toisvus. So there's a lot of people that disputed this and had issues with it and talked about the pshat of Tosfos. Yikomachim kosvu, it's written, shebezoyer mashmish sheishu spal davke b'bayis. That a person should try to find a house, some type of a room. Obviously, if you're traveling, everyone holds you allowed to daven in this open area. You have no choice. Right. Yeah. Right. You can. Right. That's where you are. That's where you do it.
Right.
If you're in a forest, then you should try to go toward a tree. Go if you're in an open area, you try to find something in which will some inanimate object to be in front of. Yispalel im ein kashul of ichar darka the mamakam snua huksas. So at least by doing this, if you're able to, you're creating some level of snias. So therefore, that's the inyan. It says the kushu beveso ein lismachalze. When you're in your house, you can't be samech on this. In other words, you have to try to then find the best place to daven. But when you are out in the road, then you have to try your best to find the best situation. So at least it's snua ksas. At least a little bit of snias is better than nothing. So let's conclude this parak with the words, the last line of this parak. The Omer of Kahana. Chutzav Aleman, again, chutzvah, two chutzvahdik things the Gemara concludes with. Who's chutzvahdik? The person, demafresh chet, a person who goes out of their way and says to the entire world, guess what I did? I used to sin, I used to do this avera, I love McDonald's, the french fries there are much better, whatever. Shinamar Ashrei, praiseworthy, is the person that does what? That Nosei Pesha, that was forgiven for his sins, Kisoichat, that the sins that were done are like kisiyadam, are covered up. So the fact that you made a mistake, the fact that you talk about it, shows that it's really an issue that you're not so concerned about how you behaved before. And that's what Tosa says right here. If you don't talk about it, then it shows you're embarrassed about the things that you did wrong. If you explain and say, yeah, that was great, I remember I used to do that. I don't do it anymore, unfortunately, but I used to do it, it's great. It says, though you don't, it's not a problem. You're not embarrassed. It says in the Gemara in the first parakel, one of the aspects is you're supposed to be embarrassed. And it's brought down also in Hilchos by Yom Kippur, that when it comes to vidui, there's a special formula of what we say. But you could also acknowledge your own mistakes. But it says, Beferish lahalacha, which you're not going to see inside, they're supposed to say balacha. You're not supposed to say, yes, this year I did da da da. Because that almost gives the impression that you don't have an issue with it. On the same token, it's the other way around. We'll conclude with this thought, is that if you have someone who's a baal tshuva, you should not be mafresh their chet. It's a chutzpah for you to say, look at you, I remember you when you were not religious, I remember you when you were a kid and you did this wrong and that wrong. The reality is, a person does not have to live in the past. If they made a life commitment to change, so then the past should not define who they are today. And therefore you shouldn't do that by reminding them of that either. Right.
This way, everybody knows.
One year,
exactly. But this way, it's to themselves.
Right.
To know that
exactly.
Har
nolachin, oyn din hanolachin, oyn din hanolachin, oyn kaitzim barchim is the next parak discussing the brachos we say on.